the meeting to order. We have the main meeting minutes from our last meeting of January 14th.
Mr. Chair, I'd move those minutes. McNamara.
Thank you. McNamara moves. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Members, in front of us this evening is House File 164. And recognize Representative Knobloch to speak to that.
Mr. Chairman and members, House File 164 is the flood bill that provides the match for the federal funding. I'll go into more detail on it later, but I guess I first would appreciate your support in getting the bill into the order that I would like to have it. So I would refer you to the A2 amendment. Mr. Chair, I'd move that House File 164 be referred to the General Register, and then I would move the A2 amendment. Members, the A2 amendment does a number of things. First of all, it allows us to repair bridges as well as roads, or counties to repair bridges as well as roads. It increases the total amount that we're spending from $6,850,000 to $9,635,000. Makes it clear this is a one-time transfer. In addition to the one cancellation that's already in the bill, it adds an additional cancellation of $12,865,000. This is unneeded funding from the Duluth flood from a couple of years ago, and in consultation with various people in the administration, we've come to realize that this funding is not needed, and so we felt that this was an appropriate place to cancel it to and use it here. We specify that the cancellations are one time. If you go down to line 16, where we on page 2, delete line 7 through 14, we're told that we don't need this language. The executive branch has done enough due diligence to know what they're dealing with here. They don't need the more flexible language that they had in line 7 through 14 on page 2. And again, we specify that this is one-time funding. And so, Mr. Chair, I'm going to move that, and then I have an amendment to the amendment, which is really a technical amendment. That's the A15 amendment. And if you look at the language, it really just has the magic word appropriation in it. And we were told there was some concern that just using the word transfer wasn't right, and so that we should use the appropriation word in this section. And so, members, I would appreciate your support for the A15 amendment to the amendment. And I'd stand for any questions anyone has on it.
Any questions, members? Anyone in the audience? Hearing none? I'm sorry. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but I have a statement.
Go ahead.
And it's not about the amendment to the amendment. It's about the amendment.
So do you want to wait until we put the amendment onto the amendment and then speak to the amendment as it's amended?
Well, I would like to speak whenever it's appropriate.
Well, why don't we put the amendment to the amendment onto the amendment, and then I'll recognize you for that.
Thank you.
Go ahead. All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Same sign. That's approved. And then we're on to the amendment itself, as amended. Any discussion of that? Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knobloch, a question, or I disagree with the wording for the amount of money that's being transferred from the Duluth as you said, the Duluth flood, and you said it was the unneeded money. There are still constituents in the flood area beyond Duluth, as well as in Duluth, that think that there is money for the flood that is still needed, that money for the flood is still needed in that area. There are projects in the St. Louis estuary, St. Louis River estuary, and in Representative Sundin's district, and in my former district, that are not completed or were not funded. There is also a big issue of whether funds were needed for the zoo. The zoo is completely wiped out, and a totally new footprint has to be made for the zoo, and the funding was not awarded from the flood to the zoo. And so I'm not opposed to the amendment to transfer it to the contingency fund, but I do protest your words of unneeded money.
Oh, Representative Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I guess I am not sure, based on some of the things you're saying, if all of those needs you were talking about would be able to be funded by this particular appropriation, in any case, given the language that I believe was with it at the time. I have Mr. Joe Kelly here with the Department of Public Safety, who could answer some more questions on that if you wished, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't have any questions to be answered now, but I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that all things were settled already and there is no longer a need to continue to discuss what is still in people's minds needed as a result of the flood of 2012. And we would like to talk with Mr. Kelly at a later time to discuss that in detail, but it's not appropriate at this time in this bill.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I want to tell you that my door is open if you want to talk about that more, too.
I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Any more discussion to this amendment? Representative
Pulowski.
Pulowski, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch, on line 1.3, the change in the amount from 6.85 to 9.635, can you explain why you're making that change? I had a similar amendment. I know the answer to the question. I just want you to explain it.
Representative Knobloch.
Representative Pulowski, I had always heard some lawyers say that a lawyer should never ask a question unless they knew the answer. I wasn't aware that you were also an attorney, but my understanding is that the department found additional needs that were over and beyond these $6,850,000, and that is the reason for the amendment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch, I'd put it a different way. We're here because there was not a special session. We're here tonight because when we had special sessions, the problem that we just discussed in Duluth is one of the issues. We did our best to appropriate money at a time when we didn't have full knowledge of what we should be appropriating. So we guessed. Some guesses were high, some were low. That's why Chapter 12A and now Chapter 12B have a certain amount of flexibility. I'd interpret what you did, Representative Knobloch, here, is to address the full funding that is needed so that all of the entities that now have bills coming due can be paid. And this is one of the advantages of not having a special session. This is the number that allows the cities, the counties, the townships, the school districts, whatever it is that we owe money to repair bridges, to repair buildings, to repair sewers, to be paid. And that's the advantage of doing it this way rather than having a special session when we're guessing at best. So that's my explanation of it, Representative Knobloch. And I'm not an attorney, but I do expect us, when we do funding bills, once in a while we actually get it right. I think this one gets it right.
Thank you, Representative Pulowski.
Mr. Chairman, if I could. Mr. Pulowski, I didn't mean anything by that attorney crack with you. But I do want to say, I wasn't here the last couple years. I believe it was your bill that you were the author of that instituted that disaster contingency account. From all I've seen, I think it was an excellent idea. I think it puts the state in the shape where when it does spend the money, it really knows what it's spending the money on. And from all I've seen, it makes a lot of sense. So I compliment you on that idea.
Any further discussion to the amendment? Hearing none. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 All same sign. Passes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, at this point, I know there are other amendments. I guess I can talk about the bill as it is amended, I'm certainly open to hearing of the other amendments that are, I don't believe, about the specific topic of this bill. And I don't know if Representative Carlson maybe would like to say if he'd like to have me present the bill first or if he would like to proceed with any amendments.
Representative Knobloch, why don't we have you speak to the bill and then subsequent to that we'll hear if there are any amendments that wish to be authored.
Mr. Chairman, he addressed me, and I think it would be a good idea for him to it's a short bill, you know, to explain the bill. I concur with your
thank you, thoughts. Representative Carlson. Representative Knobloch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, members, it's not often that I would necessarily quote from the New York Times, but I would like to today in talking about this bill. Because if you looked at the New York Times on June 24th, 2014, Minnesota was there, and a brief selection of the article said, Minnesota was besieged on Tuesday, June 18th, by some of its most widespread flooding in years. The flooding spanned vast regions of the state, from the Canadian border to Iowa. Quote, this is severe flooding and in many different locations in the state, which I haven't seen before, end quote, Mark Dayton said. I have seen severe weather, tornadoes, flash floods, and ice storms, but usually they impact one area of the state. This one is the whole state. In St. Paul, the Mississippi River rose to a nearly 20-foot crest, forcing the closing of some roads. At its peak, the flooding was so widespread that 35 of Minnesota's 87 counties had declared a state of emergency. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture's weekly crop report said that 53% of the farmland in Minnesota had been flooded. And members, actually, the number really is 47 counties and 3 Indian reservations have money in this bill because of the damages to the flooding that were caused of the torrential rains in June of this last year. Members, this bill is money going to the federal match. We have a 75% federal match to the 25% that we are putting forward in this bill for a significant part of the bill. We did, as Representative Pawlowski pointed out, spend some money, the full $3 million that was allocated from the disaster contingency account. You can look in the packet and see the detail of exactly where all the money is going, where all the money is coming from. But basically, in addition to doing the match with the federal money, we have additional money to the Department of Transportation for local road problems. We have money to Bowser. And we are paying for this in large part by canceling other flood appropriations that were unspent from previous years, so that the total net cost of this bill is $2,246,000. And if I could, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have Joe Kelly from the Department of Public Safety come up and briefly talk about the need for this bill as well.
Mr. Kelly, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Joe Kelly. I am the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety.
Welcome to committee.
Thank you, sir. To follow up on a bit of the magnitude of this, the flooding of the summer of 2014, and to put some dollars on as a point in support of what Representative Knobloch said, at this point in time, the damages to the counties and the tribal governments that the representative described is now somewhere between $52 and $53 million. I compliment Representative Pawlowski for his explanation as to why did the number go from 6.85 up to the 9.6, and it is really a true statement that at the time we made the recommendation for the original number, the damage assessment, we were looking at the original damage assessment numbers from last summer. When we updated them, we were now not dealing with damage estimates. We were now dealing with actual project worksheets that had been calculated. We had captured all of the applicants. The FEMA had the opportunity to process those project worksheets. So whereas in the past, at the point of appropriation, we were dealing really with rough estimates and assessments on an order of magnitude, we are now downstream to the point where we know exactly, at least to this point, how many applicants we have, how many projects we have, on either actual or more precise projected numbers for not only this federally declared disaster, but also for the other feature of Minnesota Statutes 12B, which was a state disaster assistance program when a county does not qualify for federal assistance. In this case, during the first 6 months of the life of that statute, we had two state-declared disasters. One was for Morrison County. They had damage caused to their county, eligible damage caused to their county, before the eligible FEMA incident period. The other two counties, in the second disaster, were for two counties, Washington and Dakota, that experienced damages during the federal disaster period, but they did not meet their county threshold. So in the end, as we calculate things tonight, we are somewhere between $52 and $53 million projected total costs for the federal disaster and about $1.9 million for the two disasters. The two state disasters.
Any questions of the testifier from the committee members?
Sure.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kelly, can you tell me the status of this account once we finish, if this is passed and the governor signs it? What's the status of the contingency fund after we're done with this disaster?
Mr. Kelly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, the status of the contingency fund once this bill is passed and the funds have been replenished are that we will have enough funds in the disaster contingency account to pay for our known liabilities. In other words, the state share of the federal disaster and the two state disasters. When all those bills come to pass, we will have once again exhausted the disaster contingency account.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kelly, and this brings the other point. Unless we replenish this fund and session ends, we'd be in the situation we have been previously where you would have to have a special session. I'm not asking to replenish the fund now, but there should be funds by the time we end this session that would replenish this. We had asked for $6 million last year, and I think we got between 3 and 4. It's now, and I think it's Mr. Kelly's department that's asking for approximately 8. So by the end of session, we will need to have this built back up unless we want to call a special session again. So I'm just making the point that this is not something that is necessarily automatically refilled, although that language existed in the original bill. And I would encourage folks to consider an automatic refill up to, let's say, $8 million, so that we don't have to come back and have this argument every session.
Representative Pawlowski, I believe that the governor may address that in his budget, but I'll also have Mr. Marks speak to that as well.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I also have encouraged the governor to do so, too. He didn't last time, so I'm repeating it now. Maybe he's listening.
Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, you're correct on that. This is this is supposed to be dealing with the current problem, so replenishing the fund would be something that the legislature ought to be considering during the regular session for putting money in for fiscal years 16 and 17. This is essentially getting us through fiscal 15.
Any other questions for the testifier? Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there aren't any other questions on the substance of the bill, I know that there are some other amendments out there, and I think now would be an appropriate time to consider them.
Representative Carlson, do you have any amendments you'd like to offer?
I have one, but there are other members of the committee that have them. Why don't you take them in the order that you've got them there? I think that we...
The first amendment that I see on the agenda is the A3 amendment. Representative Pawlowski, was that your
Mr. Chair, that's my amendment, and it's already been dealt with in the bill. I withdraw.
Thank you. Next we have A4 for the Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is my amendment, and it deals with the Department of Human Services. But before we proceed, I do have a technical oral amendment I need to make, and that would be after line 1.13 to insert sub C and the words, "This is a one-time appropriation." Do you need that repeated, Mr. Chair? Okay, after line 1.13 of the amendment, to insert sub C, so C in parentheses, and then the words, "This is a one-time appropriation." So I would ask to incorporate that into the amendment, Mr. Chair.
I think we can incorporate that. Do we want the reviser to just make sure that he's got the language correct? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Discussion on the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Yes. Can you speak to
present it?
Representative Liebling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, members, this deals with the, it has two parts, but the main part, most of the money here, $10,437,000, is a deficiency for the Minnesota Security Hospital, which members of this committee may or may not know. It's in St. Peter, Minnesota. This is the hospital that houses Minnesota's mentally ill and dangerous patients. So it's the only secure facility that Minnesota has for possibly dangerous or dangerous patients. They have to be mentally ill and dangerous to be admitted to this facility. And I think we probably have people here from the department that probably could explain this better than I could. But because of some security issues at the hospital, and by the way, it's not really literally a hospital. We call it that. It's kind of a misnomer. But nevertheless, this money was very much needed to hire additional staff, to put in security cameras, and to meet conditions of licensing conditions that were put on the department after, in particular, if people may remember that one patient was killed by another not too long ago. And so this extra money is necessary to be able to allow the department to continue to operate. They had a lot of additional expense, especially hiring additional staff. I think it's about 70 additional staff. So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you would want to entertain some testimony on this. I see there are people in the room who could give more detail on this than I could, but I have listened to the department present this at least a couple of times, and I'm convinced that it's very important that we fund this deficiency. And I should mention, too, Mr. Chair, before I let you answer whether you want the testimony or not, there is a second piece of this amendment, and that is $246,000 for the Minnesota Food Assistance Program, which is a program that, through the department, that provides food assistance to needy people who are not eligible for our SNAP program, the federal SNAP program, otherwise known as food stamps. They are legal residents of Minnesota, but they're not eligible under the federal program. They're mainly elderly people. And this is something that's necessary to keep those people from going hungry, essentially. So, Mr. Chair, would you want to entertain some testimony on this? Or?
Well, Representative Liebling, I don't know that anyone contacted the committee in terms of testimony to this amendment. And so I'm going to ask Representative Knobloch if he would speak to it first and then the members as well before we seek testimony.
All right, sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, members, I would like to ask you to vote against the A4 amendment. I'm actually the author of a bill, House File 264, that incorporates all the language that is in the A4 amendment. It's been referred to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee, and this may well be a good idea. I think that there are some deficiencies that we need to deal with, but this is the flood bill, and the committees have not had a proper chance to look at a $11 million appropriation that's here. I don't know that, while I think we're planning on moving this expeditiously, I don't know that we should be adding it on to the flood bill, a bill that is an emergency disaster bill that we can pass off the floor and get into law sometime this next week. Adding this on, Mr. Chair and members, is going to slow down this needed disaster bill. And while this may well be a good idea, and I'm actually the author of a bill that incorporates this language, I don't think that this is the place for this amendment.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair and members, I would agree with the commissioner, the representative Knobloch, the chairman. This is not only bad timing, but it's a bad amendment. St. Peter State Hospital security counselors are getting their rears kicked on a daily basis. It's got the highest assault rate in the nation for a facility like this. And the people are there crying out for help. They've been cited by OSHA, the facility, and in the process of an abatement program where they try to satisfy OSHA where they could continue operating and their license is under review. And so I don't think anything like this should be given to the hospital until we've had a vetting of it in the committee and got some answers from the commissioner what in the world is going on down there and why these people are getting assaulted. So.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Representative Knobloch is exactly correct. This is needs to be discussed further in committee. Will likely be passed, but we don't need to slow down or derail the disaster relief bill, which we need to pass and we should pass tonight. And it's a little unfortunate to see these amendments in the Ways and Means Committee to risk moving forward expeditiously with disaster relief, which is what our job is to do here today. So I would oppose this amendment as well. Look forward to the testimony in committee on both pieces of this, as well as a later amendment, which we will deal with in a few moments.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been around a couple of years, and I think this is precedent-setting. I mean, I don't think we've ever done something like this to a disaster relief bill. I really can't believe it. I mean, all the work former Chairman Pawlowski has done on this issue, this is something where both sides come together to help people, because what this does, I remember a little speech by Leader Thiessen last week that said, well, you Republicans, why don't you have the disaster relief bill through? And now we're looking at amendments that would send it to HHS, public safety, state government, environment, and HHS. Members, please think about what we're doing here. This is disaster relief. If there's one thing we can do on a bipartisan basis, it's disaster relief. All these amendments, they may be really good ideas. I don't know. I may vote for every one of them. But as you heard me say before, what my school teacher used to tell me, Gregory, today is not the day. And that's the situation we have here. Do we want to hold up payments to our counties, our cities, and our townships for this and the letter from the governor? I mean, this is hard on me because I've been really working well with the governor. I mean, we got a House File 6 through. I'm working with this child care credit thing. And then this, the governor wants to slow up disaster relief because that's what this does. That's what this does. This has to go to how many more committees? How many more times does it have to go from committee to the floor to committee to the floor? Members. If you want to go through these amendments, let's just vote them down and get this bill, match it up with the Senate, and get it to the governor. And we will live to fight another day on very important issues. And I'm not saying, it looks to me like these amendments look like pretty important issues to me. But I'm just glad there's no tax provisions in any of these, the way it looks. So members, I would ask Representative Liebling to withdraw it and not have any of these amendments put forward, because we're against Leader Thiessen's comments, we're slowing down disaster relief. And I think that's terribly unfortunate. Because Representative Knobloch, if any of these go on, wouldn't that slow this thing down?
Representative Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, absolutely. And I should also mention that right now the Senate companion to this is traveling without any deficiency language. In fact, the Senate companion to this bill is Senate File 1. And as everyone here knows, when a House or Senate designates something as their first bill, it's obviously a very high-priority bill that they want to have enacted, that they want to have enacted quickly. This is the companion to Senate File 1. It is, I believe, identical or near identical with maybe just a minor technical amendment that we put on tonight. If we put this A4 amendment on, it will slow it up. It will no longer match up with the Senate. It will then be eventually bound for conference committee. Who knows when our counties and cities and townships will get their flood relief.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Liebling.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll finish up. Maybe if you want to call on Representative Carlson, I'd like to speak before we...
Right. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to disagree with the comments that this somehow slows the bill down. This is an appropriations bill, finance bill that's before us. And I circulated the governor's letter, and one of the things that I want to reemphasize that... he pointed out in his letter, and Representative Liebling was commenting on, was the life and safety of not only the patients but of the staff at the state hospital, St. Peter. And we had interesting comments from the other side of the aisle a few moments ago about how we're leading the nation in the number of assaults and those kinds of safety issues that the staff is now dealing with on a day-by-day basis. A deficiency bill is moved early to address those kinds of issues, and I think we have a responsibility to the staff who are state employees and to the patients that are in those hospitals, and the need is for 75 positions to bring about more safety in that very difficult environment to work in. But this is a fiscal bill. And the amendments are in good order, and at the end, whether there's amendments that go on or not, you'll be moving it out onto the House floor. It doesn't slow anything down at all.
Well, Representative Liebling.
Sure, I'd like to finish up, Mr. Chair, at the end.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would
Representative Davids.
Beg to differ with my good friend, Representative Carlson. We just heard from Chair Knobloch that it would have to go to the committees. You know, if you're talking about, you know, food assistance program, is that good policy? It probably is. You know, you just go through these. We just heard from Chair Knobloch that these would have to go to the committee, so therefore it would slow these down. I don't know how we, yeah, it's money, it's fiscal, we can do whatever we want, but to do this much policy included with money on the Ways and Means Committee, I mean, take yourself back 2 years. We had tried to do what you're trying to do here, you would have had chairmen jumping across the table at each other's throats for pulling something like this. This is highly inappropriate, and as Chair Knobloch said, it would slow things down.
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Well, first of all, I think Representative Carlson put it very well. There really is no emergency, as I see it, with the bill that's before us, and there certainly is as much emergency in my amendment. I mean, flood relief is very important, but there's no flood right now. This is all stuff that already happened that we're trying to make people whole looking back. What we've got before us is a situation where the security hospital in particular is going to run out of funding. And that will be an emergency, and it's going to happen if we don't provide the funds. Answering Representative Cornish, the idea that we shouldn't supply funds, by the way, these are expended funds, expended for things like security cameras and for hiring additional staff so that staff can be safe. I don't know why in the world we would wait to do such a thing. It's already been done. We simply need to pay for it now. There certainly is no policy in this amendment. This is simply deficiencies, monies that have been expended for very important purposes. as they're supposed to be. Now the legislature's back in session. We have to make sure the agency has the funds to cover what it absolutely had to expend. And I think that this is so important, Mr. Chair, that I would ask for a roll call on this amendment.
Roll call by Representative Liebling has been asked.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to take issue with Representative Liebling's comments that this is not an essential bill. The bill before us would rise to the level of a special session had we not have 12A and 12B. None of the amendments before us would rise to a special session. Yet this would. We deliberately created 12A and 12B to ensure that these counties, cities, townships, school districts, and individuals would be funded in the case of a disaster. This is about the highest level it gets in this state of needed funding in a deficiency bill. If we don't pass it, we will not have the money to pay these people for what they already owe. And by people, I mean counties, cities, and townships. So I take issue with the fact that this is somehow of lesser consequence than what Representative Leighton has in the amendment. That amendment would not cause a special session. If we didn't do this, it would.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Pawlowski, I apologize. I was either misspoke or was misunderstood. I'm certainly not saying it isn't essential. What I'm talking about is how emergent it is, that whether it happens today or whether it happens in a week, I don't think is going to make, fortunately, because of the legislation that you put in place, we're not in the situation of having to call that special session and have an emergency for people. And I think we all appreciate that because of your work. We're in the situation where we have a bit more luxury. That said, I certainly don't think it isn't essential. We certainly do need to do it and fund it. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we fund the Department of Human Services so that people who are mentally ill and dangerous can be committed where they need to go and can be safe, and the staff there taking care of them can be safe, and the communities from which they come can be safe. And that is also a very urgent, essential function of government. So I apologize, Representative Pawlowski. I certainly didn't mean to denigrate what you're doing, which is great work. It's just that in terms of timing and having it be emergent, whether it happens today or whether it happens in 7 days, I think, you know, these things are equally emergent in that sense. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Pawlowski, I think, made my points. But I would like to ask this. I take great pride in chairing a committee, great pride, just like the fellow chairs here today and just like the chairs that came before me. And I also take great pride in hearing from the constituents, and also I respect the process. And one of the questions that I had for the author of the amendment was, when they said that this is an emergency and dollars are running out, the question that I would have is, when are those dollars running out? Can she give us a specific date on when they're running out? And then I also want to hear from the agency. Are they promoting circumventing the process? And if they are, I want to know why. As a chair of a committee, again, that I take great pride in, I want to hear from the committees of HHS, from the DNR, and whatever other amendments, and I want to hear from you and tell me as a chair why we should be circumventing the process. If you agree with circumventing the process, and if the governor is also advocating to circumvent the process. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Hamilton, there are certain consequences that will happen, and pretty quickly, if we don't fund this deficiency. First of all, starting in February, DHS will have to issue notice to counties that they will have to stop taking new admissions in their regional treatment center and their subacute hospitals, including admissions from jails that have been ordered by the court for competency restoration, which is something that does happen at the Minnesota Security Hospital. As you may know, a lot of our jails, especially in greater Minnesota, are not equipped to handle the serious mental health issues that that they see. And in the past, we've had a lot of problems where we are holding these folks with the regular detainees. In fact, I believe we passed legislation somewhat recently to make sure that these folks are moved from the jails out, I think it's within 48 hours, because of this very problem. So this is a very urgent issue. That's just the first consequence, and that starts to happen in February if we don't fund this. The department did come to Representative Dean's committee, HHS Finance, very recently. My days are already going together, but if it wasn't today, it was yesterday or, you know, very recently to talk about this issue. Went through the need in great detail. So in that respect, I really don't think that the process has been skipped. I could go through the other consequences that are going to kind of cascade and happen immediately, but I don't know if this committee wants to hear, you know, every line of that. But suffice it to say that this is a very serious issue, and we do have the, you know, the department was not going to sit on its hands. The concern that Representative Cornish brought up, they had to address that concern. Obviously, they're still addressing it, but hiring about 70 staff was part of the solution, and I don't think even Representative Cornish would argue that they should not have hired additional staff to take care of some of these very dangerous, difficult patients.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Liebling, I do want to hear every single one of those bullet points that you have, every single one of them. I want to hear all the detail around this, and that's why we have a committee process. So you're absolutely wrong when you said, I don't know if the committee members want to hear all of this. The committee members, at least I do, I want to hear all of this. And so either we take the time to hear today and we hear from the department to answer the other questions that I have, or we respect the process and we send this to the committee that you and I both serve on, where we can ask those questions and hear the testimony.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, I would argue that hiring 70 is a bad idea. What you're going to do is you're going to send 70 people down there to get assaulted like the other ones have. A guy called about his wife who was injured there the other night, and she couldn't talk. Her benefits have run out. I'm working with MBA right now, or MMB, to get them back somehow. I went to a benefit at St. Peter at the Legion the other day for a person that was disabled from an attack. Believe it or not, they've got these counselors, security counselors, that are being forced to intervene in physical confrontation between violent patients, patients without tasers or handcuffs or restraints. NAMI and the other mental illness advocacies have turned the things over so far that patients are getting assaulted. So until St. Peter makes a real attempt, instead of just buying a bunch of cameras, to really get at the core of the problem, I think it is a bad idea to hire 70 more people to be assaulted. And I think St. Peter can wait until it's vetted out in the committee. So.
Representative Davids? I think we've been alerted to the fact that DHS is in the audience. I think both the commissioner and the deputy commissioner are here, so I don't know if you want to take turns coming before the committee or if one wants to take the lead and consort with the other. Welcome to the committee, Commissioner. Although we know your name, please state your name for the record, please.
My name is Lucinda Jess, and I'm Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Human Services. As you noted, Mr. Chair, Deputy Commissioner Ann Berry is here with me as well.
Any questions of the Commissioner? Mr. Hamilton? Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the Commissioner, again, I'm not debating whether or not this is a good amendment. That's not my question. My question is, are you advocating to circumvent the process, or do we have time to run it through the proper process, to bring it through committee, in particular the Health and Human Services Committee, Finance, in which I serve on as well? I asked for that, Representative Dean or Chair Dean, because it's very important. And so do we have the time to take this through the process? Or are you advocating to circumvent the process and push this through today?
Commissioner Justin.
Mr. Chair, Representative, you know, I must say I don't appear that often before this committee, so I'm not pretending to be an expert in your processes here. I do believe and support the governor that we need the deficiency bill that covers this as very, very quickly. And we're trying to make our case for that everywhere we can, as we did in Representative Dean's committee. So it's not that we're trying to skip those processes and come here, but as Representative Liebling said, we have to, if we're not going to get this deficiency funded, we have to make some decisions very, very quickly about what to do with Security Hospital. And so it is an extraordinarily urgent matter. And I think one thing, hopefully that answers your question, Representative.
Representative Hamilton.
So the way I understand, and I don't want to speak for Chair Dean, and I think he can chime in, but I believe that we will be taking this up next week or hearing this next week. Is it possible to respect the process and hear this next week in committee? Does that still give us, as a legislative body, enough time to hear it, to fully vet it, to bring it forward, and subsequently have it signed into law?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, Representative, from my perspective at Security Hospital, we need to have decisions made very quickly, at least by early February, to avoid a cascade of very unfortunate events. That's why I just think this needs to be addressed as quickly as possible.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Jessen, can you tell me, when did you first identify that you were going to run short on money?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry.
Anderson.
Representative Anderson.
Can't go wrong with Anderson, Carlson, or Johnson in Minnesota, so.
Or in the committee.
No. on a personal level, I learned that we were going to be very short in last July. There were a couple of key things that happened here. There was the hospital was put on a conditional license. The first one happened in late December 2011. That resulted in us hiring about 55 of the security counselors, taking some other steps. We thought we could absorb some of those costs. We had some additional costs. But then last May, there was a second, that conditional license was extended, and the licensor said basically to keep our license, we not only had to kind of continue doing the things we were before, but also hire another 18 very expensive clinicians. I could go into kind of the reasons the security hospital was subject to these licensing orders, but you know, at first the licensor said you're using you're too much restraint, too much seclusion. And then at another point coming back saying, well, you know, we think you should be doing, you know, the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction. And so you need to have a lot more clinicians there to really guide those decisions about, you know, when restraints or when action should be taken and when they shouldn't. And all this person-centered training. That order came down, actually it was the third week of May, I think last year, and that necessitated another round of hiring and expenses. So I think when we realized the magnitude of the cumulative effect, it was really last summer. We put a lot of things into place in the department to try and bring down our cost. Really took steps impacted hiring, not just in Security Hospital, but across the entire Department of Human Services. So we've been trying to bring these costs down and working on it, but to do that, given the magnitude of what we've had to deal with at Security Hospital, just to keep it open, you know, and that's before we get to the cameras and some additional new admissions units we created and built to try and, after the murder of a patient about a year ago, we thought we wanted to take those additional steps so that we could do more to protect staff and the clients from each other. So it's been kind of an ongoing set of issues, but I would say for me personally, last July or August, I realized that this was a serious financial problem as well as a very, can I just say, serious problem at Security Hospital, both for our clients and staff.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Jessen, you know, everything that you've described to me signifies that this needs to go through the committee process, because we're not talking about just a small little fix here and just a little tweak here. We're talking about significant policy changes. And, you know, I know that this issue isn't new either. We've been talking about this hospital at the legislature for quite some time. I just did a quick search on the internet, and within the first page of that search, I haven't been here as long as Greg Davids, but within that first page, we had articles on January 1st of 2014. We had articles in May 21st of 2014. So, I mean, this isn't a new problem. This has been around for some time, and as Representative Pawlowski pointed out, if it was so urgent and you identified the problem in July, there's nothing to stop the governor from calling a special session. In fact, he is the only person that has the power to call a special session. So if we're going to be respectful of the process, and not just the process, but the people of Minnesota, you can't tell me that the people in this community don't have something to say about this issue. And we need to make sure that they have that opportunity and not try and do a quick fix that will be back fixing again within 3 months. So I would just ask that members respect the process, and Representative Dean, Chair Dean, has established a timeline for looking at this, and I think we need to go that route.
Commissioner Jessen, you have any follow-up to that? Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I hope members on both sides of the aisle will just think a little bit here. The governor obviously is circumventing the process. His employees have to back him up. This is a separation of powers issue. Now, the governor may think that he has a pen and a phone, but that's not going to work here because we have the vote. So I am far beyond the issue. I think I've said before, many of these issues, yeah, we support them, let's do them, fine. But not in this process, not in this manner. So the governor may say, well, I've got a pen and a phone. That may work in D.C. It doesn't work here. This is an executive branch versus the legislative branch, and if both parties here want to give that up, that's a shameful day. Because that's what this is. This is the executive branch trying to roll the legislative branch, and I will have no part of it, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Jessen, it was stated earlier that the hospital will have to stop taking new patients. What day would that be?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Moen, we've put together a contingency plan that would be in early February. We'd stop have the hospital stop taking new admissions. Shortly after that, we would be petitioning the special review board, so they have to make recommendations on provisional discharges from the hospital and ask them to approve discharges from people in our transitions or pre-transitions. Those are the people who are closest to being ready to leave, to send them back to the counties. So we have actually kind of a series of steps that if the deficiency weren't funded, we would need to take very quickly. That helps.
Representative Mahoney.
When you are in a legislative committee, and when you say quickly, that's very, very relative. So it could be quickly, could be today, if we were all smart and passed the deficiency bill, or quickly could be sometime before the end of the biennium. So would quickly be sometime in early February you would be sending patients back to the counties? Or would it be when? Any idea?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Moen, just to clarify, so on we project that on March 31st that Security Hospital will run out of money. But we would want to do everything we can to protect especially those most dangerous clients that are there. So what we would want to do is start earlier to try and, save money so that, and that's why we would start in early February. I don't have an exact date for you to say, okay, to save money, to do the most we can to protect the public and those clients, we would start saying, well, we're not going to take new admissions, so people would end up where they are. And then after that, we'd say, but we're going to ask for provisional discharge of the people who are there, but more ready than others to return to their community, by saying we would ask the special review board to do that on an expedited basis. It would probably take, we would ask them to do it in 30 days instead of 90. So for those decisions to start being made to hit before the end of March, we'd ask them to do that in early February as well. So there are a series of steps we would need to take, just frankly, planning to do the most we can to keep people safe, both the public and the clients.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Molloy.
So, Representative Davids, this may not be an emergency today, but by early February, I guess 10 days from now, it might become, it could be certainly become an emergency within 30 or 40 days. So hopefully we can, as a legislature, we can, if we don't do this tonight, hopefully we can move within 30 or 40 days. But you've been around here just a little bit longer than I have, and as I said, the hurry is relative here.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. Thank you for your testimony. This kind of reminds me of the other day when I was driving my daughter to school and it was snowing out, and I was going to try to avoid Highway 61, so I went down Stewart Avenue in White Bear Lake, and she said, "Dad, you don't have time to take a shortcut," which is very kind of instructive for what we're doing right now, because this is going to delay where we want to be. I thought we would probably be in here this evening and pass our disaster relief bill and be concluded by 7:30, which is what I think we should do. When we're looking at trying to pass this quickly, and we've had pieces added on to this, It sort of asks more questions than for our committee. For example, the funding pieces that you bring up, Commissioner, and I know as Representative Rukavina used to say, you're just doing your job. So you're just doing your job. We understand that. But if the security hospital, in fact, is in more dire straits than we were led to believe, i.e., the immediate depletion of funds for operations, that is a bigger issue that may in fact affect the passage of other bills within our committee. This was brought up. There's three pieces in DHS which are up for review here, one of which we touched on briefly in committee. At that committee, I asked for detail on the deficiency requests specifically for the largest amounts from the department. Neither myself nor my staff has received anything from the agency regarding those requests for the detail on the deficiency funding. So we have none of the three of these aspects have been yet addressed. And I would just respectfully encourage members on the other side not to engage in the governor's politicization of this disaster relief by antagonizing chairs with whom we'll have to work closely for a successful session.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Jessen, in addition to the governor having the capability of calling a special session, it's all completely within his control, he also has under his jurisdiction, I just found this out as state government finance chair, is that he has a contingency fund. There's about $436,000 in that contingency fund that he can use for situations just like this. And if this was such a dire emergency, obviously if you knew in July, you've had August, September, October, November, and December, and now, three weeks in January, he has that capability. And so I do question the validity of this request. I am very disappointed that we are now delaying disaster relief for something that could have been taken care of in the last 6 months if it was truly an emergency. So I, again, would ask members not to circumvent the committee process that's important to the public of Minnesota, and we get on with passing important disaster relief.
Commissioner Jessen, any comment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, once again, I would like to say that, you know, what I found out about this as I said, very honestly, last July, we just got this new conditional licensing order. It did take us some time to figure out the scope of the problem, and frankly, we spent a lot of time and money trying to bring this number down a lot across the time and work across, by having hiring restrictions, travel restrictions, and other things within the department. So we were working diligently to try and do that.
Representative Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Jessen, can I ask you, have you made a formal request to access the $436,000 that's in the contingency fund for this need?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, Chair Knobloch, I have not made that formal request.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Mr. Chair, I am the author of the bill that has this language. I think there is a need here, but I think it's a need that needs to be considered and go through the process. If we were to put it on this bill tonight and take it to the floor, we would now not be matching up with the Senate because, as I mentioned before, Senate File 1 is traveling as a flood bill alone without deficiency language. We'd then be forcing ourselves to go to a conference committee. We don't know how long that would all take. We may well find that we get this done quicker if we go through the proper process than adding this on and going to a conference committee. And so, members, I would reiterate my opposition to the amendment and would ask for your no vote.
Any other comments by members? Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just say that I think that this argument that the commissioner should have asked the governor to call a special session for this is, it just strikes me really strangely, especially in light of Representative Pawlowski's comments earlier in this hearing, that this flood money that we're passing tonight, you know, that he put in place this process. So to not have to call special sessions, as you may know, Representative Anderson, calling a special session is a pretty expensive deal by itself. It's not something that you want to do very lightly. You only do it when you really have to. So if the commissioner finds out in July that she's getting into a hole with the security hospital, this is pretty much her first opportunity. So, you know, I don't think it's really fair to fault her on that. And, boy, I think that with the comments here tonight, if anybody's listening, we're probably going to cause a run on that little contingency fund now, because the standard is going to be you don't have an urgency unless you've gone and tried to get that contingency money. Well, I don't know how reasonable that would be, because that's, you know, she's got a $10 million-plus hole, and she's not going to fill it with the $400,000-some-odd. I mean, I guess that would help, but, you know, there are things she was trying, as she said, trying to get move the pieces around to get it to work, and this is really the first opportunity. So I don't know how long we need to you know, discuss this. It's been a really good discussion, and I think if members really think that they don't want to vote for it, they can just vote no.
Representative Anderson. Any further discussion to the amendment? Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard the commissioners say that we were probably good till March 31st. I'm hearing this is a dire emergency. A question for the commissioner. Have you requested funds from the finance chair, Dean, for HHS?
Commissioner Jessen.
Mr. Chair, funds for Representative Davids, we made the deficiency request as well as, and then there will be other requests, I think, that probably are part of the governor's budget for that, you know, for the next biennium. Maybe I don't understand your question.
Well, I'm having trouble here because we have a dire emergency, Mr. Chairman. We have a dire emergency. There's been no formal request for available funds. So how dire is the emergency when there hasn't been a request from the commissioner for available funds? Well, members, let's just vote it down. That this is outrageous.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Not Locke.
No.
All right.
No.
Anderson?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Cornish?
No.
Davids?
No.
Dean?
Nope.
Detmer?
No.
Draskowski?
No.
Garofalo?
No.
Eckberth?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hillstrom?
Aye.
Weinstein?
Yes.
Kahn? Kelly? Franceschi? Liebling?
Aye.
Loon?
No.
Mahoney?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Murphy?
Yes.
Nornis?
No.
Pawlowski?
No.
Poppy? Torkelson?
No.
Erdahl?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
The ayes being 7, the nays being 17, the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment on the agenda is the A5 amendment. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is my amendment, and I would like to move it, and I would also like to incorporate an amendment similar to the one that was incorporated before. In this case, it would be line A5, and after on amendment 5, after line 1.10, insert C. This is a one-time appropriation.
Do you want to repeat that for the committee?
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment is to the A5 amendment. Wagenius moves to amend the H0164 A5 amendment as follows. Page 1, after line 10, insert C. This is a one-time appropriation.
Given its technical nature, I don't think we need to move that, so we'll incorporate it into your amendment.
Thank you. And I'd like to speak to the amendment, if I could.
Representative Wagenius, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Knobloch. I am not going to argue that I'm bringing an emergency before you, but I'm going to argue that I am bringing a practical problem before you and this committee. Speaker Dowd told us that we were to be problem solvers, and I have a practical problem, and we can solve it. It does not circumvent this committee, because this committee historically, and I've been on this committee for many years, this committee does accept amendments. And it's particularly appropriate tonight, because Chair Knobloch has invited testimony, and tonight I have with me I'll tell you about the amendment, but I want you to know that Colonel Ken Sorling from the Enforcement Division of DNR is here, as is the Commissioner of the DNR, so I do have the appropriate testifiers. So with that, I would like to tell you a little bit about what's going on and why I think it would be super efficient of us to do some problem solving, which is the role of this committee. Right now, I want to first, if Paige could help me out here and hand out a fact sheet that DNR did, and I would just, it's easier, I don't read to people, but it's easy if you all can see what's on the fact sheet. Okay, I think folks have that. You'll see on the left-hand side of this fact sheet that the Enforcement Division of DNR entered the fiscal year with a projected $1.8 million deficit. And the reason for the deficit is the first two bullet points, basically, a bargaining unit, negotiated compensation adjustments, and there was a 1.5% increase in employer share retirement enacted in the 2014 budget, which of course was not included in our budget. So that's where the deficit came from. DNR has done some things, postponed a Conservation Officer Academy, which way I think we desperately need, but they postponed it, and to reduce that deficit. And there's still, so they reduced, but that still brings us to the need for some one-time funding to offset this deficit. And as a practical problem, This is for conservation officers' hours. They're 15,000 short, and this is a safety issue. And I think if I would refer you to the governor's letter in number four, the item number four, he brings this as a public safety issue just as he brought the last issue as a public safety issue. And as a practical matter, we can deal with these kinds of public safety issues and let the DNR do some good planning so we have officers on the ground as we go, particularly as we go into the spring season, but we should have them on the ground for the winter season too. And so with that, I do think it's a safety issue, and because I think that, I am going to ask for a roll call and ask members if they would like to hear from the colonel or from the commissioner.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm going to have the exact same questions for the commissioner about circumventing the process, and are you an advocate for that as well? But you know what? I'm going to have a series of questions if we're going to bring this up, and I want details. The best part about being a rural legislator is that we don't get home at night. And why is that the best part? Because I absolutely love being here, and I'm more than happy to keep every one of my Metro colleagues here until 10, 11, 12 at night, because I don't have anything else to do. I don't. So this is great. And so I'm going to be going down here. So one, I want to know, do you support circumventing the process? I take a lot of pride being a chair, just like all the chairs before me. And then I want to know details. On this list, it talks about vehicle increase, acquisition, maintenance, and insurance. I want to know about what is your plans on vehicle maintenance and everything. So if you can clearly describe all those. Well, I've got a number of questions on this, Mr. Chair. So if they can please come forward, I've got a series of questions.
Representative Cornish, to this, or would you like to wait for the testifiers?
To this.
All right. Why don't we have the testifiers come forward, and then Representative Cornish, you have the floor.
Go ahead now.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Landwehr. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources.
Mr. Chair, members, I am Colonel Ken Soaring, the Division Director for Enforcement.
Welcome to the committee. Representative Cornish, you have questions?
Actually, I just wanted to follow up with Representative Hamilton. This is what I did for 23 years of my life. I worked for this enforcement division, do advocate for everything on this thing, and I've already talked to Representative McNamara about it, and he didn't promise me anything, but he did promise me that I would have a voice on his committee when we talked about this, where I intend to impress him that they really do need this $69,000 out of the general fund. However, saying that, as much as I believe in it, I think they can wait until it's gone through the proper process and the committee that I'm on with Representative McNamara so that I can present it along with them in the proper way and the proper vetting. So,
is that a question you'd like the testifiers to answer, Representative Cornish?
No, that was just a statement. You can go ahead with it.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if Representative Hamilton had called the testifier down if he still had questions. I don't want to jump in front of him, but I defer to Representative Hamilton at this point.
Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative McNamara. I think what I'll do is first I'm going to ask the commissioner, is timing of the essence on this, or can we respect the process? Are you advocating to circumvent the process in order to move this through here tonight?
Commissioner Landwehr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think perhaps be most beneficial for Colonel Soaring to describe the timing, the need for the funding, and any urgency around it.
Colonel Soaring.
Mr. Chairman, Mayor, members, the timing of this is set up that we have annual work plans, and so I'm looking at work priorities for this current time that we're in, the rest of this winter, as well as what we're going to do with the spring. And at some point, I need to make up the shortage that I've got. I've done what I could with canceling schools, canceling training, to try to manage the shortage. But right now, I'm at a point where I'm going to need to give direction to my officers that we either not do things in the next 2 months or we not do things in April, May, and June. So these are salary dollars, so I need to make some decisions very soon on how I make that up, that shortage up. Now, as far as timing, if I knew that there was going to be some help coming, I can continue with our operations as we go. But if I'm not successful in that, then I'm going to have to just stop and either lay people off or stop operations in the field.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the testifiers. First of all, thank you for all that you do. I greatly appreciate that, and thank you for your honesty. Just like the last testifier, they talked about 2 months' time frame, and so that's what I'm hearing as well. And so after listening to what Chair Dean had to say and some of the other chairs, I think that there is time to take this through the proper channels and to fully vet it in the proper committees and then allocate these dollars once we do that very thing, respect the process, and so that you can continue on with your good work. That's what I'm hearing. We have about 2 months in order to do that.
Colonel?
I believe that we do have some time, again, as to when I have to make the decisions on which operations we stop. I can continue on as if I'm going to get the funding, and at some point, if it doesn't come to be, then I have to stop the important work that we'd be doing in the springtime. That becomes a challenge with which priorities. You know, are we not going to work as many AIS hours in April, May when the boats come out, or are we not going to work the fishing and activity that we have now?
Thank you. Representative Hamilton?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Knobloch?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm the author of House File 264 that contains this language. I certainly plan to have a resolution on the deficiency funding issue far before 2 months from now. I expect that after Representative Dean's committee hears House File 264, that it will go to the Environment Finance Committee and that this issue will be discussed. And I am concerned that if this is added to the bill, it will then just force the bill into conference committee with the Senate, and we may well find that it gets done later than it would get done if we simply followed the process. And so I would ask members to respectfully vote against the A5 amendment.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am very uncomfortable with this circumventing the process language because we are not doing that. This committee has always had taken amendments. What is different here, and to your credit, Chair Knobloch, you have agreed that we would be having testimony. We have now had testimony on two amendments, which is what would happen in another committee. This is the overall finance committee. The process has been followed beautifully. Now the question is, are we going to be efficient? Are we going to do problem solving? Or are we going to do procrastinating because for some reason this has now become political and I frankly don't get it.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could just quickly respond. You know, Representative Guinness, we've served on this committee for a number of years, and I think what is different here is that you are right. This is the Finance Committee with jurisdiction over these sorts of things, and an amendment like this would certainly be something to consider without sending it elsewhere if it was coming up on an omnibus bill 3 or 4 months from now, which is when we would normally be dealing with things like this. But this is a deficiency request that's coming up now. There seems to me to be time to give it a proper hearing in the committees where the expertise is on these issues. And again, for that reason, I think it should be referred to those committees.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apparently, all we need is the Ways and Means Committee, because the committees that should be hearing these issues aren't hearing them, and that's fine, according to Representative Wagenius. Why not just bring everything to Ways and Means, shut the rest of them down? That'd be efficient, you'd solve a lot of problems, and we'd save a lot of money.
Aye.
Members, this discussion is making my brain melt into my shoes. What are we doing here? I've got a yes or no question for the commissioner. Commissioner, yes or no, do you support circumventing the legislative process, yes or no?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I do not support circumventing a process.
Thank you. Do you support Mr. I appreciate that. I agree with you. Mr. Chairman, to the commission, do you advocate slowing up the process for flood relief for needy counties, cities, and townships for $69,000? Do you support that, Mr. Commissioner?
Commissioner Landwehr.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes, I sure can. Do you advocate slowing up the process for this much-needed flood relief to our cities, counties, and townships for $69,000? Do you support that, yes or no?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would wholeheartedly not support that.
I'm with you. We're getting somewhere here. I'm stopping while I'm ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Wagenius, it's got to be a real challenge, and Representative Liebling and Representative Carlson to
4 years ago
to actually bring this forward. And even under the guise at all that you're doing something like this in good faith, to the members in the audience, I apologize that you are here from the agency at 8:20 at night and are sitting in your seats squirming at how uncomfortable you are because the position you were put in by the former majority party. I apologize for you for being here. Some of you were in our committee this morning at 8 o'clock, the four zoo testifiers. Thank you for coming. To your lobbyist that's with you, thank you for coming. I hope you're not asked to come down and belittled and have to sit here like the colonel and the commissioner are right now. The colonel and the commissioner have come, and Assistant Commissioner Meyer have come and talked to me about this issue. They know my position. Director Emke, you know my position on the zoo. You both know we're going to take care of it. I absolutely am not going to support you circumnavigating the process. And to former Chairman Carlson and former Chairman Holbert, who's not in the room today, this is an embarrassment. This is an embarrassment, folks. The way you ran the committee, Representative Carlson, I can't believe you would come here and bring bills with policies and policies. There's a letter from the governor here. I will read it to you, members.
I read it.
The Department of Natural Resources, DNR, is facing a $1.8 million deficit in its enforcement division and is leaving 28 field staff offices vacant. As a result, conservation officers have less capacity to respond to service calls in a timely manner, and there is growing concern among the citizens and outdoor user groups about its effect on public safety. The agency has already reduced training and fleet costs. The letter is dated January 20th. Today is January 21st. It's 8:22 in the evening. No one brought this letter to me. It's not addressed to me, but it is in our budget area. I actually was elected again on November 5th, did we get elected? And was appointed chair of the committee sometime in December. This is not a surprise, Commissioner, Colonel, Assistant Commissioner, but who is going to be in charge in the House in dealing with this issue? Commissioner Meyer, you came and talked to me about it. We had a great conversation. Representative Cornish, you've already talked about how important it is to you as your former position as a conservation officer, and this deserves legitimate discussion. But if I'm not mistaken, Speaker Dealt would know for sure, but I think I have 21 members on my committee. And if I'm not mistaken, one of them. No, Representative Cornish, Representative Hackbarth, there's three of us here today. I don't believe there's a single Democrat here. Though there are seven here, I don't know how many are on the committee, about 14 or something. There are seven in attendance tonight. If I'm not mistaken, there's 15 Republicans here. And it's interesting, Representative Wagenius, you're bringing this forward. I know it's not. I can't figure it out. It can't possibly be in good faith to the people in the audience back here, to the different commissioners. It's 8:25 at night. We're used to it. Our families put up with it all the time. Some of them have young children, and they have jobs to do, and they got to be in the office tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and we're pretending here that it was 2 years ago, that the DFL is completely in charge, and they're running the place, and we're just going to do what they want to do. Folks, we are reaching out and trying to work with the agencies within our departments and looking forward to working with the Senate and crafting legislation with the governor. And Representative Lagunas, you can bring it forward and have your roll call. We all know who's on this committee and where they're at and what they're doing. But Representative Carlson, I am really, when we discussed it in caucus, I thought, there is no way they're going to bring this forward. There is no way they're going to do this. These amendments, they are so out of line and out of whack with reality and what's going on. How can you possibly sit here with a straight face and say this is the process? Are you kidding me? This is the Ways and Means Committee. Chairman Carlson, we don't do anything here unless it's fiscal. We don't take testimony. Are you forgetting the last 4 years? Chairman Knobloch said that's not the way how I did it before. Chairman McNamara, we're going to do it different. I like how I did it. He's the boss. We're going to do it his way, and we're doing it this way. So you're going to make a mockery out of his willingness to let there be testimony. And we bring the good Commissioner Landwehr down here and the Colonel, who have a legitimate issue with underfunding with the COs because the contract got signed for a bunch more money than we were anticipating. This is embarrassing, folks. You have all been here on this side of the aisle so much longer than I. What do you think a landscaper is looking at this and thinking? He's like, these are the people running our state? Are you kidding me? What a joke. We got a letter that says you need 1.8. You got an amendment that you need 584,000. Oh, just do it. Don't worry about it. Tell that to the 20 people tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning that are going to be in my committee. You don't matter. Well, I guess there's three of us that matter, Cornish and Hackbarth and McNamara. The rest of you, just forget it. You got an election certificate, but it doesn't matter to this group. Thank you.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, a couple of things I think we have to keep in mind, and the two testifiers can comment if they would like, but, you know, this biennium is drawing to a close. There's 5 months that remain. And having dealt with budgets for many years, when you're dealing with a deficit and the clock is running, if you wait 2 months, then you've got to solve the problem on a three-month time period. And just think about your comment about whether it was an emergency or not. When you try to begin to address this problem over 5 months versus 3 months, and let me tell you, it'll be a lot easier if you're able to spread these issues over the 5 months when you're dealing with a deficit. We do have a constitutional requirement that it has to be a balanced budget, so you're going to have your budget balanced at the end of the biennium. And so I just want you to think clearly about that as we move forward, the management of your budget 3 months versus two, or I mean 3 months versus five. You're shaking your head, yes. I was
hoping. I'm wondering, is there a question or a question?
Well, I was rhetorical, but I was hoping you would comment about the difficulty as the clock is running. And
Mr. Chairman,
you know, I've been on the tax committee for many years, and it was many years ago, and when we were dealing, oh gosh, way back when Governor Quay was in office, and we had to deal with the revenue side. And as the clock was running, you ended up having to do dramatic things if you were going to resolve it on the revenue side or on the cut side, because the clock was running and the timeline that we had to use was getting shorter and shorter. That year we had six special sessions. There's been comments here about special sessions. So would you rather have 5 months to resolve these issues or three? That's I guess, if you want a question, that would be it.
Thank you,
Mr. Landwehr.
Chairman, members of the committee, it's obviously easier for us if we have more time to plan for that. And I very much appreciate the support that some of the committee members have provided in assuring us that that will be made up. If we knew with certainty that that was the case, we would not be here asking for your earlier indulgence. As to your point, the further out we get, the more dangerous it becomes should the funding not follow.
Mr. Chairman, that was the point I was trying to make, the difficulty when you get to a short time frame. You know, we've spent a lot of time debating process, and I guess that's in the eye of the beholder to a degree. This is a fiscal bill. These are fiscal amendments. These are programs that are in place, and I think both the amendments to date have been in order. But thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, I'll ask you the same questions that I asked Commissioner Jessen. If you can tell me when you first identified this as a problem, and then also when did you communicate to the governor that you are interested in using contingency fund for at least the $69,000?
Commissioner Landwehr?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to ask Colonel Soering to address the first question.
Colonel Soering.
Mr. Chair and members, I was aware of our budget shortage as we started this fiscal year. We realized we were about $1.8 million short, and I had some decisions to make as to whether I was going to cancel the last academy we had, which I hired 10 conservation officers, and not hire any, or if I was going to try to hire five, which I thought I could probably afford for this year. Holding an academy for five officers is not good business sense. It still takes all the overhead, all the training time, and I would be at 38 vacancies in the field. We're already about 59,000 hours short of conservation officer delivery of field services, but we would be if we were at full strength. And so I made a decision to put 10 in that academy and hoped that I could get through this budget identifying as many savings as I've had. I've been an employee for 35 years. I've been a supervisor of a district starting in 1992 and a captain of a region starting in 2004, and I have always managed my budget. I've never been short. I came into this position, inherited this budget that I'm in, and I apologize that I don't understand legislative processes and where budgeting is supposed to happen, but I'm starting to get panicky on some really hard decisions I'm going to have to make to reduce conservation officer hours in the field. And if that helps answer it, I had hoped to have an academy in April. I have to move that academy if we're going to hold it into the next fiscal year after July. We're making plans to do that. We've identified candidates. Again, I've been trying to manage this problem, and I've realized it that I was into this at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Colonel Soering. So it sounds like what I heard from you say is that you haven't asked the governor for at least the $69,000 out of the contingency fund. With that in mind, I want to ask Mr. Marks, if you could, wouldn't this overall impact the budget forecast that we received in November, and aren't we really operating off of a smaller surplus if you count all of these deficiency requests? And I'm just curious why that wasn't factored in and why that wasn't included in the whole process.
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, these are not in, items like this one or the others we've been discussing are not included in the forecast because they're in appropriations that are limited or direct appropriations. So for example, the biennial appropriation for the enforcement division of general fund appropriation for the enforcement division of DNR is showing up to be around $7,965,000. That's the limited amount, and that's what they have to live within unless there was more appropriation. So these are sort of extenuating circumstances that they either have to live within or ask for more money. Forecast doesn't build in more money unless it would be an appropriation that says whatever they need, like a standing appropriation or an open appropriation, where the language in the law says whatever they need is what's appropriated. When it's limited amounts, that's what they have to live within, and a forecast assumes that unless the legislature chooses to appropriate more. Mm-hmm.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Marks, for that clarification. I think what we're seeing here, though, is we're not getting the full picture when it comes to the overall budget, and that gives me great pause altogether, and all the more reason then that these bills, these proposals, should go through the committee process rather than having it kind of slammed through without really knowing what the impact will be on the overall budget. So.
Any other discussion, members? Hearing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Knobloch?
No.
Albright?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Carlson?
Yes.
Hornish?
No.
Davids?
No.
Dean?
No.
Detmer?
No.
Druskowski?
No.
Garofalo?
No.
Hackbarth.
No.
Hamilton.
No.
Hillstrom.
Aye.
Hornstein.
Yes.
Kahn. Kelly. Lunchesky. Liebling.
Yes.
Loon.
No.
Mahoney.
Aye.
McNamara.
No.
Murphy.
Yes.
Nornes.
No.
Pulowski.
No.
Abby. Torkelson. Erdahl.
No.
Inwiginius.
Yes.
Members, the ayes being 7 and the nays being 16, the amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Chairman,
if I may, when we're taking the rolls, we're calling Representative Kahn's name. I don't know if she requested to be excused, but her husband just passed away, so
Carlson.
I would hope that would be acknowledged.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Kahn. The next amendment is the A6.
That's me.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you. This is the request by the Minnesota Zoo, and I did distribute the letter that explained the deficiency requests for each of the well, the bill and then the various amendments that we're bringing forward. But the zoo also has a deficit. It's $1.5 million. And they point out that they have reduced their staff to the extent possible, and to go any further would also impact on future attendance, and it's one of our major attractions in terms of people visiting the state and Minnesotans as well going to the zoo. But the feeding of the animals and the care of the animals would be at risk without the $1.5 million. Something I should point out is that there was some question if they were using some of this money to refill a reserve account. And I did double check with them this morning, met with three or four of them in the hallway, and asked that very question because I had heard that that might be an issue, and they said emphatically no, that these dollars would be used for the care and upkeep of the animals at the zoo and to prevent further reductions in attendance. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that amendment, and I would ask for a roll call, and then I think you're incorporating the language that we need to have that this would be a one-time appropriation. So if you want it to be moved, otherwise if you want to just incorporate it, that was the advice of our chief fiscal analyst that we put that language in.
If you'd be willing to move that, Representative Carlson, we'll have the reviser recall it for us.
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment is to the A6. Carlson moves to amend H0164A6 as follows. Page 1, line 5, after the period, insert, this is a one-time appropriation.
Mr. Chairman, I had the wrong fiscal analyst, but
any discussion to the amendment, members?
Roll call on this one, please.
Yes,
it has been requested. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had the zoo before the Environment Committee this morning. Representative Carlson, you may not know that. Oh, yeah, you actually do. You were talking to them out in the hallway just as they were leaving our committee. I forgot. They were there in our committee, and we requested a number of things in regards to the request for the $1.5 million. And the discussion was framed that I expected them back within a few days before our committee to fully vet this. Is there a reason why you don't want them to bring those answers back to the committee to see what the 1.5 is made up of and what the options are on an ongoing basis? Because they also had, though you carefully framed your amendment so it didn't have tails on it, they let us know that the tails are actually bigger than this request on an ongoing basis. Is there a reason why you don't want any of your DFL members that serve on that committee to hear about this issue before it would be voted on today?
Mr. Carlson, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, if this amendment went on, it certainly wouldn't preempt your committee from gathering additional information. It's like the other amendments. I'm concerned about timing, and the longer we wait with coming to the end of the biennium, the greater the problems are. And so that's what's driving these various amendments from my perspective here this evening. So if they are agreeing to provide you with the information, that's fine. And this will be to resolve the issue that's before us now. I suspect some of the questions that you're asking will be part of your decision-making process when you're dealing with the upcoming budget for the next biennium. So I don't think it would be a waste of your time to continue to gather information as you prepare your next budget cycle. Mr. Chairman, while I do have the floor, there was a request by me that the zoo have at least somebody here tonight to answer some of the specific questions that committee members may have. As the others, if they're willing to come forward, I don't know who's representing them.
If there's representation from the Minnesota Zoo, if they could come forward.
Mr. Chair? Actually, I have the floor.
I'm sorry, Mac. Representative.
I don't want to hear from, maybe Representative Carlson wants to hear from you, Director Emke, but I don't. Thank you. Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, so I think I heard you say that our committee should have input in what I just said. So now if I understand you correctly, you're recommending if this amendment goes on that it does come to our committee. You said I should have input because I said not only is it the one, oh, I shouldn't have input on the 1.5. Your colleagues are shaking no, even though you just said our committee should have input. So I'm assuming we should only have input on the stuff that's not in this bill. The stuff in this bill, our committee doesn't deserve, and none of your DFL colleagues should know anything about this 1.5 of the questions that we asked him this morning in a bipartisan way. Representative Hansen had some really important policy that he wanted attached to this $1.5 million. And I'm assuming you think, even though he's the lead on the committee, he shouldn't have any input in this issue because we need to move this forward. You didn't say that we should have input in the committee on this?
Representative Carlson.
Representative McNamara, I think you're putting words in my mouth. What I said was that if this amendment fortunately moves forward tonight, we resolve the timing issue that I've been concerned about because we're getting close to the end of the biennium and the problems get greater the closer you get to June 30th. What I did say in answer to your question about you had requested information from the zoo was that that would not be wasted time from your committee's perspective because you will be laying the groundwork for when you put the budget together for the next biennium. And we all know that this funding level is going to be a continuing problem for the zoo as they move forward. And we're just trying to put them in a good position as they close the books, if you will, for the end of this biennium. And I would hope that you would continue to gather information for all members in a bipartisan way, both sides of the aisle, as you begin to prepare your budget for the next biennium. I'm just trying to get them to June. Just as I said with the last amendment that Representative Wagenius had, the importance of trying to address these issues as early as possible so that they can get to June and have their books balanced. And constitutionally, as I mentioned earlier, they do have to have their books balanced. So if they wait an additional month or 2 months, it just gets that much harder to balance the budget is my very point. But when I asked them to come forward, I wasn't asking them to come forward to testify. Again, what I said was that if any committee members had questions of the representatives of the zoo, they were available. And Representative McNamara, you indicated that you don't have questions, but other committee members may.
Actually, Representative Carlson.
Representative
thank McNamara. You, Mr. Chair. Actually, Representative Carlson, you said as long as I have the floor, I want them coming forward, and I wanted to make sure that the record showed you don't have the floor. You also said the zoo told you that they need the money to feed the animals. that absolutely was never in the discussion when I met with the zoo. And members, to frame things differently than they really are is really unfortunate. My first meeting with Director Emke and his people was out at the zoo with my grandson Luke in December. The director called me and he said, "We got a problem, Representative McNamara, you're chairing the committee. I'd like you to come out and chat with us and talk about what we can do to move forward." Unfortunately, and Director Emke, you came in 2003, the same year I came here from New York City, and thank you again, like I said this morning, for coming and bailing out our great state zoo like you did. It's the first time we've had a deficiency in the zoo since 1998, and I know it's embarrassing for you that you got stuck in this tough position of now we only fund you at 22% and set at 33% where you deserve. And you don't deserve to be here and have people talk about not feeding the animals and pretend the situation and different it is. I don't get the politics of this. I look around the room and I don't see who the targets are and what we're doing, other than it's January 21st. We're going to do some great work going forward. And I've been attacked because I'm a pocket of big oil by one committee member. All I want to do is destroy AIS, and now I don't want to feed the animals at the zoo. And you know what, members? I actually chair the committee that has the full jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources, the MPCA, Bowser, and a couple of little agencies. And the last time I chaired it, we were $6.5 billion in the hole, and I had to do some of the toughest work I ever had to do. Tougher than when I was a landscape contractor and went through some of the really tough recessions with our employees. And to be belittled by some senior members here and talk about me being in the pocket of big oil and not going to feed the animals, Director, I'm again embarrassed that you're here now. It's 13 minutes to 9. Ladies, I feel sorry for you. I apologize for you. It's not fair as state employees. My father was one for 41 years. You know, I am a board state legislator, and like Representative Hamilton, I don't have anything more to do. I let my wife know I wasn't going to be home tonight. But it's not good for the process. And to pretend you're here for some other reason than some political agenda that makes no sense, and you're getting off on the wrong foot. Members, it stinks being in the minority. Been there, done that for 6 years. No, it's not fun. It's really crappy, and I get it. And I don't blame you for working your tail off to get back in the majority. But you know what? That starts next year on May 22, when the second year of the biennium's over and we're running for election. But right now, we're supposed to do the state's business. And $1.5 million for the zoo belongs in my committee or Representative Roginius's committee last year. And you can rest assured, I didn't bring an amendment as embarrassing as this one in committee and try with a straight face to pretend that we need to feed the animals, so this is why we got to do it. We got to do this because we signed a labor contract that was too big, and you didn't deal with it last year in the supplemental budget, and I don't get why not. And I've asked for that information to come forward in the committee. And if you think I'm going to be part of a discussion to not let that happen in my committee because, oh, you can worry about next year. Maybe that's how this state got to where we got. 12% increase in the last biennium in our state budget. That's what you guys did. You know what our economy grew? Put a 9 on it. Call it 3.9. It didn't grow that fast. That's how Democrats add? You guys should be embarrassed. My goodness gracious. What in the world would the good... This is great. I'd like to keep going. Representative Hamilton, let's go. We can go an hour past midnight if we vote for it. And we have the majority, so let's rock and roll. You want to ask questions of Director Emke? I'm all in. Because if you start asking questions of him, I'm going to be asking questions, and they're not going to get pretty.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you. And to the zoo person.
Maybe you want to pass him.
A simple yes or no.
That shouldn't be in front of me.
Simple yes or no. Do you support circumventing the legislative process and Chairman McNamara's committee, yes or no?
Mr. Emke.
Mr. Chair and Representative, no, I do not support circumventing the process.
Do you...
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the zoo person. Do you support slowing up the process for flood relief for our counties, cities, and towns for this amendment?
Mr. Emke.
Mr. Chair, Representative, no, I do not.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the gentleman.
Representative Davids.
How long, under your current situation, can you continue to feed the puppies and kittens and other animals?
Mr. Emke.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, our concern at this point is not feeding the animals. Our concern is planting.
You should feed them.
Well, and we plant too.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, feeding the animals, by the way, I should get them off the hook. That was my interpretation of what was in the memo that said they would have to relocate the animals because they had budget difficulties, and I assumed one of the issues might be the feeding and the security of or keeping the animals secure. I don't recall anybody here saying anything, Representative McNamara, about big oil. If they did, I missed that completely. But going back to whether you yielded or not, I quite honestly thought you were done. But obviously you weren't, so you were recognized and you were able to make your points, which is fine with me.
Any further discussion? Representative Knobloch.
Well, members, for the same reasons I stated before, I'd encourage a no vote to the amendment.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Knobloch.
No.
Albright.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Carlson.
Yes.
Cornish.
No.
Davids.
No.
Dean.
No.
Detmer.
No.
Dreskowski.
No.
Garofalo. Eckberth.
No.
Hamilton.
No.
Hillstrom.
Aye.
Hornstein.
Yes.
Kahn. Kelly. Franceschi.
You know, probably.
Liebling.
Yes.
Loon. No. Mahoney.
Yes.
McNamara. No. Murphy.
Yes.
Nornis.
No.
Pulowski.
No.
Poppy. Torkelson. Birdall.
No.
Wagenius.
Yes.
Members, the ayes being 7 and the nays being 15, the amendment is not adopted. Members, the next amendment is the A9 amendment.
No,
we just
A9.
Which one did he say?
We did a shorter one.
Yeah, that. Did you say the omnibus one?
The A9.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I shared that with the author of the bill that with the 24-hour rule, we were still going through the decision process of whether to have one single amendment or if we would have individual amendments for the various sections of the bill. So I withdraw that one because we're addressing what's in the amendment with the individual amendments.
Representative Carlson withdraws the A9. The A10.
That's mine, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like we might have saved the best for last. I assume this is the last. Members, this is an amendment that has to do with the Department of Health, and it relates to the very important topic of Ebola. So we talk about things that are urgent. I think everybody on this committee would probably agree that the Ebola crisis was pretty darn urgent. And as many of you may remember, this kind of came to a head right before the election. And in fact, there was a lot of concern expressed in ads. Certainly one pretty well-viewed TV ad running against the governor about whether he was actually going to be handling the Ebola crisis. And indeed, the governor was handling the Ebola crisis, and his Department of Health really swung into action and started doing a lot of planning and coordination and preparation in case we should have an Ebola emergency here in Minnesota, as that ad was suggesting that we might. And so there were some costs incurred in that, and then because of that, we have in the A-10 amendment a deficiency request to cover a couple of pretty important areas of expenditures for Ebola preparations. And Mr. Chair, there's just one really minor technical amendment here I've noticed. On line 1.18, there's just a typo after the period. We're missing a capital A in the word "an," if I could just incorporate that.
Mr. Sullivan, you note that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling, you've made as a precedent on your previous amendment the insertion of a technical option on the back as a one-time appropriation. Is it already in there?
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that is already in there on this one. So, so members, anyway, if you take a look at the amendment, it's in two pieces. One is a piece that is for the Department of Health itself that relates to funds that it expended. And what it ended up doing was using funds that it had its hands on because they were there under from the federal government under contracts that the Department of Health has to do other very specific work. And so the concern here is that if we don't provide for the deficiency, that we will be forcing the department will be unable to do work that it is contracted to do with the federal government, which, as you know, can get us into a great deal of difficulty. The second piece of this is $2 million that is to be used to defray some of the costs, not all by any means, but costs that were incurred by four hospitals and also a number of ambulance services. Because, as you may recall, in order to prepare for a possible Ebola emergency, hospitals had to go through a great deal of preparation, setting up procedures, setting up possible isolation units. There was a lot of talk in the press about that we had these four centers, that any patient would be sent to these four places to try to reduce the risk to the population. So if you can talk about having urgency, this is certainly an urgent matter. And Minnesota, as usual, did very, very well. And these hospitals and these ambulance services really functioned as partners and as part of our public health system, which they really are. This is not something government could ever do by itself. We had to rely on our very able and willing partners. But that said, they incurred costs that simply aren't recoverable from any other way and really need to be paid back. So members, that's the amendment. I certainly hope that you will be willing to provide the funding and to provide it soon, the funding that your constituents needed in order to be assured that they were not going to be affected by the Ebola outbreak, and that anybody who might come to our airport who might have Ebola could be very quickly isolated and taken care of. And members, this is such an important amendment that, again, I would like to have a roll call.
Representative Liebling requests a roll call. Discussion by the members. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, I see that we have Commissioner Ellinger here. Would he be the best person to address questions if members of the committee had questions? If there's somebody else from the department who might be here.
Welcome to the committee. Dr. Ellinger, please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, I'm Ed Ellinger, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thank you, Commissioner Ellinger. This deficiency request is in response to what hospitals are having to do to be prepared for a possible Ebola outbreak in the state of Minnesota. Fortunately, we have not seen that. However, a lot of really good work has been done to prepare and respond for that in monitoring at-risk Minnesotans and understand the necessity for that. We are planning to hear that in the Health and Human Services Finance Committee, and we look forward to testimony on that and also hearing and passing a deficiency appropriation for that in that committee. I would just really once again like Representative McNamara and others apologize to you on behalf of the committee for having to put you in a position that you were not supposed to be in. We have committee process and committee members who are looking forward to your testimony and looking forward to supporting Minnesota hospitals and professionals. However, I think that Representative Liebling alluded to the fact that this was a political issue or that this was some ad that was used in the governor's race, and I really hope that that's not why we're here, that this isn't just purely about politics and about gotcha. I really hope that that is not why we're here discussing this today. But I can tell you that we absolutely do need to discuss this in committee and also pass it. And you just have my assurance that our committee will do that thoughtfully and will also do it as quickly as possible and put the best interests of the state of Minnesota first. And I can just tell you that from traveling around the state and from talking to lots of people in the last year, this is what Minnesotans unfortunately have come to expect from politics, from people who don't put the good work of the state of Minnesota first, but they expect things like this to happen when politics gets in the way of doing your job. I thought that our disaster relief was kind of the last holdout of respectability in terms of being able to come together and do that quickly, but unfortunately I see that that is not the case here today. And I hope that this is a blip in what will otherwise be a very smooth and productive session. So I look forward to your testimony in the upcoming days in our committee, and I would encourage members to vote once again for the committee process.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Dean, the department really came out in a big way to my legislative district. I represent a very diverse district that has a large community that many of their family was affected by Ebola in other countries. And the department came out and had town meetings in our community to help educate them on how they could educate their families back in their countries to try to stop the spread. This is a very serious issue. And it made people very afraid in my community. Some families were fearing that their entire family relation was going to be wiped out back in the country they came from. And so first I want to say thank you for the great work that was done. But I think that these kinds of issues are the very issues that rise to the level of bipartisanship and dealing with things in an emergency. And so I think that funding and making certain that we can respond to these kinds of threats are one of the core functions of government, and I think that it is the right thing to do. I believe that just as I would vote for flood relief for any emergency anywhere else, this was considered an emergency in my community, and I would appreciate your support.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hillstrom. We have not heard from the department yet to see which of the hospitals expended money in what ways, but from my understanding, there was specific hospitals that were designated to receive patients and to monitor patients, some of those through monitoring at home, some of them monitoring on site, and went through very expensive renovations. I don't believe that was in your district. However, I think we can find that out through the testimony. But it is a very expensive thing to deal with, and it's one that our hospitals, I think, did a very good job in responding very quickly to and doing the best they can with what they had, as they always do here in our state. But once again, I think that this is something that should not be part of this discussion here today, and it's something that we can probably move on and pass in days if possible. And I'm not sure why Representative Carlson chose to do this one amendment at a time to get extra votes within the committee, why we couldn't do this with one amendment and probably have our commissioners back doing the work that they should be doing, why we had to exercise multiple roll call votes in the Ways and Means Committee is something that I just haven't seen in my experience here, and I don't think others have as well. So I hope that is not a signal for how the session is going to roll out, and if it is, it's certainly not a very good one.
Welcome to the committee, Dr. Ellinger. Do we comment?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I really do appreciate hearing about Representative Dean's intention to hold a hearing on this, and we look forward to testifying in that. We did respond to this crisis in our state with staff at a really high level, and I believe we, along with our partners in the community, responded in a very respectful, appropriate, effective way. I respect the process that you need to go through to approve funding. Our request is that we expended dollars, federal dollars, that were earmarked for certain things, and we just need to know within the next 90 days or so what to move forward so that our federal partners, we can let them know that we are able to fulfill the requirements of the contracts or not. So there is some time pressure for us with these 2015 dollars. However, you can do, if you can do that within the time frame that allows us to respond to our federal funders in a way that lets them know that we can fulfill our contracts, that we would be really appreciative of that.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions to the commissioner. The first question is, do you support circumventing the legislative process and going around Chairman Dean's committee? Yes or no?
Yeah. Commissioner Ellinger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, as I said, we are really interested in going through the regular process and going through the committee structure with Representative Dean.
So that'd be a no. Thank you.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the commissioner, and I too apologize that you're even here tonight. That's unfortunate. Do you support slowing up flood relief for counties, cities, and towns while you're circumventing the process?
Commissioner Ellinger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, my concern is about the Minnesota Department of Health's budget, and I am concerned about getting a deficit funding for our programs. How that plays out in the rest of the budget, that is, I believe, is your responsibility.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the commissioner, do you support slowing up the process by supporting this amendment, slowing up the process for flood relief to cities, counties, and towns, a yes or no?
Commissioner Ellinger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, as I said, I want to get funding for the State Health Department to do the job that we are doing. How that plays out, I don't think our role is to not slow up or speed up. It is, you know, I'm here just to advocate for the public health of the state.
Thank you. I think that was a no. He doesn't want to slow it up.
Thank Representative you. Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor this, members. I know that we've all been here a long time, and I think been here a lot longer than we thought we would be here for what I thought was a non-controversial, important bill that everyone thought would be moving forward quickly. I am the author of House File 264. It contains this language. I do want to compliment the department on the job they did, as well as the health care providers during the Ebola crisis that we had in terms of getting ramped up for it this last fall.
However, as you've heard Dr. Ellinger say, this is really a reimbursement. We fortunately, blessedly, don't have a crisis now. I think that we'll be giving this a hearing, or should have a hearing, in Representative Dean's Committee. And as one last thing I would add, for members of the Ways and Means Committee, I was talking to Senator Cohen about this the other day, and, you know, deficiency bills traditionally are for state agency needs where something has happened that has caused an agency to run short. And I think item A here would be a perfect example of that. No one would have imagined that we would have a Ebola crisis happening. The agency needed to spend additional money that wasn't in the original budget, and now they are finding that they have a shortfall before the end of the year. But neither Senator Cohen, who's been doing this for a very long time, or myself, who's been in the House for 12 years, chaired Ways and Means for 4 years, I don't think I've ever seen a deficiency appropriation going to an outside group that's not a state agency. And so this is a rather precedent-setting thing to be setting up this grant program for hospitals and care providers in the deficiency bill. I'm not saying that it's not something that we maybe should do, but it is a bit unusual, in my experience at least, to have it as part of the deficiency bill. And for that reason, I think it's one more reason that the Health and Human Service Finance Committee needs to look at it. I'd urge a no vote.
Representative Lieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Knobloch, actually, the question that you, or the point you just raised, is one that I had raised as well, because I agree, usually you don't see outside agencies getting funding in a deficiency bill. I think in this case, the real difference is that these hospitals really functioned as arms of the Department of Health, because we do have a very integrated system. The Department of Health, in doing the preparation, simply had to rely on the hospitals to expend the funds and do the job, and there really wasn't any question about it at the time. So I think that does make a difference. However, I would suggest that if you would otherwise support the amendment, I would strike the that second part and let that go through the committee process, because that did come up a little bit later. I think we know a bit less about that. And so, you know, if that is your major concern here and you would otherwise support the amendment, I would offer to strike that section B.
Representative Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Liebling, I think we still need to have the due diligence done so that we know that the $891,000 is the right number. So I would still encourage a no vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Knobloch?
No.
Albright?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Harrelson?
Aye.
Cornish?
No.
Davids?
No.
Dean?
No.
Detmer?
No.
Druskowski?
No.
Garofalo? Heckberth?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hilton?
Aye.
Hornstein?
Yes.
Hahn? Kelly? Ancheski? Liebling?
Aye.
Noon?
No.
Mahoney?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Murphy?
Yes.
Nornis?
No.
Pulowski?
No.
Bobby? Turkelson? Erdahl?
No.
And Wiginius?
Yes.
Members, the ayes being 7, the nays being 15, the amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Knobloch.
Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion that House File 164, as amended, be referred to the General Register.
Members, Representative Knobloch does restate his motion, as amended, on House File 164, be referred to the General Register. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, before you vote, I think it's fairly clear that those of us that have been supportive of the amendment support the first part of the bill. There's never been any question about that. There's been a debate about the other needs, and I just would remind members that these were the state agencies that came before the legislature and supported their need for a deficiency appropriation. And I know there's been accusations that some on the committee may have been playing politics. I can assure you that that was not our motive. My motive, I can speak for myself, was solely the need to address these issues because we have such a short timeline that I said repeatedly. And that's where we were coming at it from. Much of the debate, probably 90% of it, centered on process. It didn't really center much on the merits of the various amendments and what the needs were of those state agencies. And I hate to leave the committee with the feeling that somehow we were trying to politicize the bill. We were trying to respond to the needs of those agencies. So with that, I would encourage a yes vote for the bill.
Any other discussion? Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Carlson, the things that make us suspicious of the whole process tonight was the little history back on the DNR, the conservation officers and the enforcement budget. Chuck Brown, a Democrat, decades ago put in a rider language when he was chairman of the Environment and Natural Resource Committee for 400 hours of extra overtime, actually only 156 straight time and the rest overtime, for conservation officers to do their job in enforcement because management was pilfering away the money for studies and this and that. And Chuck Brown thought it was so important that it was his addition, and it stayed in the bill for, I think, as rider language, protecting extra hours for enforcement division for, I think, three bienniums. And then Representative Wagenius willfully and knowingly took that protecting language out that would allow management to come in and get on enforcement and take their money. It took the protections away. So tonight, Representative Wagenius acted like she was very, very concerned about enforcement division's efforts and the money and the hours when she had the choice to keep protections in there. She took it away. So that's things like that make us very suspicious for us why the amendments were brought up.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Mr. Chair, I just really have a question of you, and that is that on the House floor, there is a rule against questioning motives of members, and I don't really know if that rule pertains to committee so much, but there seems to have been a lot of questioning of motives tonight, and talk about getting off on the wrong foot. I hope we don't go there. I mean, all of us who I've been in the minority three times now, in the majority three times. And so I very well understand both positions, but I think that if we start attacking each other personally by questioning motives, that really does poison the atmosphere. I mean, we all play our roles, we all do what we think is best, but we really ought to try to keep not let it get personal. And so I just wanted to ask you that question. Is that rule one that pertains to this committee, because I've never served on this committee before.
Representative Liebling, I think the rules that would govern our activities on the floor of the House certainly convey themselves and extend themselves to the committee atmosphere, but also in light of that, I would empathize and share your sentiments that professional conduct and appropriate conduct should always be striven for in whatever context we are, either on the floor or in a committee atmosphere. So I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cornish.
I was just trying to help out. Representative Carlson seemed rather confused why our questions and why, and so I was just trying to explain the reasoning behind it, not question anybody's move. I just don't like it when he's confused about our direction.
And Mr. Chairman, I wasn't confused at all. I wasn't confused at all.
Mr. Chairman, I'm quite confused.
Thank you, Representative Davids.
I don't get it.
Representative Knobloch renews his motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. Motion prevails. Representative Knobloch.
I was just going to say, members, this coming Monday, we're going to have a hearing on medical assistance in this committee. reason for that is that one single line item is increasing more than all the other line items in the entire state budget. And we've got one line item that's doing that. I think that all of us should pay some attention to it and find out why that might be the case. So please come on Monday with your questions regarding that issue.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch.
Yes.
Has medical assistance been on the agenda of the Matt Dean Committee?
It is his largest budget item, Representative Murphy.
And has he begun hearings on the issue? Are we not following the process?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, he has had an overview on medical assistance. I was there when he had it. This is an overview as well. We're certainly following the process because the bailiwick of this committee is state finances, and when you have one line item that is comprising a very large increase like this one is, I think it's appropriate for us to take a look at it.
Representative Murphy. Thank you for that, Representative Knobloch. Members, this committee is adjourned.